Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, we started a little earlier. It's just 5 to 10 now, so we can let you out. And so we'll let you out in a little bit. Won't hold you too long. And I want y'all to quit looking around. You're not going to find it. You know what? That hour of sleep you lost last night, you're not going to find it, so quit looking around for it. You'll find it in the fall, okay? I was doing that this morning. June said, you ought to do that. I was looking around and everyone. I said, I just can't find that nowhere. What are you looking for? And she treats me terrible. And I said, I'm looking for that hour of sleep that I lost last night, but I can't find it. But anyway, we'll find it in the fall, the Lord willing. I want to talk to you about what Kevin talked to you about. I was sitting back there amazed. And I do, when him and Robbie and others teach, and it amazes me how the Lord works. And most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, the Holy Spirit wants to give you a double dose because He knows the first, you know. So this is what, I got 3 points in my sermon that I'm going to mention, and I'll try to cover, I'll take about 30 minutes per point and we'll let you out. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the last chapter of the book. And I want to talk to you about the work of the Lord. I want to talk to you about working for the Lord. I guarantee you, if you went around to everybody, and we're trying something new up here. You see the mics up here and everything. the devil just messes everything up. And so anyway, we're going to try this and see how that works. We've been having blank spaces in the tapes and skipping and all that stuff, so we got to try something different. Before I go on, also on Wednesday nights we're doing our broadcast again, and so be much in prayer about that. I think we're on channel 55, huh? 53. For some reason I either say 58, 55, I can never get it right. 53. I'll remember that because that's my age. 53. Not quite. But anyway, 53 is on channel 53. If you know somebody that will tune us in. And so pray about that. Okay? All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16... And what I was going to say is, I guarantee if you go around to everybody in this building and ask you, do you want to be in the will of the Lord? Do you want to really work for the Lord? The answer would be overwhelming, yes. So I'm going to talk to you about that. There's just 3 categories that I feel is important. And I'm sure that others can make a whole list out of things you can do. But notice what he says in verse 8. He says, but I will tarry at Ephesus unto Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, let me say this. Every time a door is open to you, and if you're going to teach or preach or talk to somebody about salvation, I'm talking about the gospel, and that door is open up to you, you can bank on it, there's going to be some adversaries somewhere. You might as well get used to it. He's going to fight you, try to block you, no matter what. Now, Paul goes on, he said, there are many adversaries, verse 10. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren. But his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will soon, he will come when he has a convenient time. Now verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. It's like that quit, it's equipment. It's like you got the tools like a man to do the job that you're supposed to do. Now, if you got a King James Bible, you got the tools. Look what he said. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, that ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. Now, I want to talk to you. Notice what he talks about in these churches here. And there are certain things. And I want you to see in verse 16, he's talking about the labor of these people, the house of Stephanas, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And that word addictive, it's giving themselves over, is to give oneself up till it becomes a habit. In other words, their service of the Lord is a habit. And I want you to notice there are three things in the work of the Lord. Number one is the ministry of the saints. Now there are two categories of the ministry of the saints. The first category is, is the edifying. The ministry of the saints is to edify the saints. Look with me, hang on to Corinthians and come over to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And he gives there in verse chapter 4, verse 11, these are the gifts that he gives to the body of Christ. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. And the apostles and prophets, they're the ones that wrote the scriptures. We don't have that today. If you've got a Bible that's a King James Bible, you have the complete revelation of God Almighty. There is no more extra biblical revelation that God has given to you today. If God talks to you, if He speaks to you, He's going to speak to you through this book. He will not speak to nobody today in the dispensation of grace. He's done wrote down everything that you need to know and how to live for Him in this age that we're living in. Now the problem is people don't believe this book, and people don't rightly divide this book. And so when they don't rightly divide this book, what they call the work of the Lord is not the work of the Lord. And we'll look at that just in a moment. But he said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, here it is, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The word edify is to build up. It's like the perfecting. It's the same word is used in Matthew 4 when they were mending their nets. It was bringing them back into a new, repairing anything that was damaged about them. Perfecting. Work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Now watch it. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, and in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now this faith is the doctrine, it's the revelation that was given to the Apostle Paul. And he says that we're to be in unity of this faith until we all come into the job of the evangelist, the job of the pastor, the teacher, is to bring the body of Christ in the unity of the faith so that they, the body, can go out and do the work of the ministry. If the body's not in unity of the faith, they can't do the work of the ministry. And I don't care who it is, where they come from. If they don't know what God's doing today, they're not serving the Lord. Now you can put it down, take that into the bank. God does not operate outside of what thus saith the Lord. And what thus saith the Lord has been pinned down. Now we don't follow, and I've said this many times, we don't follow the man Paul. We follow the revelation that was given to the man Paul. And he wrote it down in 13 books. Now, the work of the ministry. What does he say? Why do we do that? He said that, verse 14, Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, all of it, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. In other words, every joint supplies a part of the body, and every part of your body supports and supplies a need for the other parts of the body, and there should be unity in that body so that every part of your body supporting another part of the body, and that's the way the body of Christ ought to be. If it's operating like God wants it to operate. But some of us, the body today is not in unity one with another. And so because there's so much disunity, the body of Christ is not performing the work of the Lord as it ought to perform. And so that's what I want to talk to you about. He said, working in the measure of every part maketh increase. There's the edification of the body. Unto the edifying of itself in love. The body should be building itself up. Now, the ministry of the saints has to do with edification. It has to do with supporting. It has to do with you as a member of the body of Christ. You ought to be supporting other members of the body of Christ. As a member of the body of Christ, you should be supplying need for other members of the body of Christ. And on the faith. You should do it until it becomes a habit. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. To ministering to one another. That's the work of the Lord in the body. Who have you ministered to this past week? Maybe I need to say that again. You mean to tell me 7 days has gone by and you hadn't been an encouragement to some other part of the body of Christ? It ought to be a habit. As doors open, we should. Now Paul says back in 1 Corinthians, he says verse 13, stand fast in the what? What are you to stand fast in? In the faith. Now if I come over here and I'll just draw it like this, in the day that we're living in, it's like a parenthesis. There is the faith in here.
And it has to do with doctrine. And that doctrine is to you,
so you know what, how you ought to be. I get amazed at people talking about the Lord and they don't even know what the faith is. How in the world can you stand fast in something and you don't even know what it is? You ask the average church member today, do you know what the faith is? See what they tell you. Well, how my faith is believing in Christ. No, it ain't. The faith is doctrine, folks. How can you come into unity of something if you don't know what it is? You see what kind of mess we're in today? Religion don't teach you the faith. Religion says Jesus Christ is your example. And that you need to follow in His footsteps. And the people that's telling you that has never walked in a footstep of Christ. They don't even know the God of this Bible, the majority of them. But look on. Stand fast in the faith. Look with me and turn over to Philippians and look in Philippians chapter 1. We're to stand fast in this faith. Why? What's the only way you can work and serve the Lord? Why? Because He's operating in this time period. This is what we call the dispensation of grace. And you know, I get amazed, people, when you go talking about stuff like this, and they say, oh yeah, you're a hyper-dispensationalist. Oh yeah, I know who you are. Yeah? What's a hyper-dispensationalist? Well, I don't know, but that's who you are. There are people today that believe the body of Christ started in Acts chapter 2. They call themselves dispensationalists. And they say on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came, the church was born. Right? That's the general belief. Then there's those, and I'm one of them, I believe that the church was born, if you want to use that term, born, but I believe it started with the first physical man. I believe Christ is the head, but the first man, I believe, was the Apostle Paul, because he said in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern for them which should hereafter believe on Him. If Paul's the pattern of salvation, then boy, he's got to be the first. A pattern always comes first. You ladies don't make a dress and then get your pattern out and see if you made it right, do you? You might have three arms. The pattern's first. Well, I believe that Paul was saved, so I got, here's Acts chapter 2, here's Acts 9, I believe in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus, the Lord appeared brighter than the noonday sun, and Paul was going. You know what Paul had in his hand? He had letters from the high priest. Well, what was he going to do? He's going to haul men to prison. He's going to have them stoned. This is a wicked man here. This is an evil man here. This is a blasphemer here. This is a man that deserved the wrath of Almighty God, and he's on his way to haul men into prison because they're professing Christ, and God just zaps him on the road to Damascus. He ain't doing nothing to get earned salvation. He's doing the opposite. He's not doing good works. He's doing bad works. And God saves him by grace. Well, then you've got people. Now, here's a dispensationalist believes that started in Acts 2. I'm a dispensationalist, believe it started with Paul. So, I am a little extreme. more extreme than them, right? Then you've got people that believe that the body started in Acts 28. I look at them as hyper-dispensationalists. Then you've got people that believe that Adam was the first into the body of Christ, that the church has always been all across. They look at everybody that's a dispensationalist as a hyper-dispensationalist. You see the foolishness of everything? Why don't people just believe the Word of God rightly divided, believe it as it says it, where it says it, and just forget about all this religious garbage? We'd be a lot better off. So when people say, oh, you're a hyper-dispensationalist, I say, well, that depends on which, where you stand at dispensationally. To somebody believes it over here, I'm not. But anyway, look with me. Stand fast in the faith. We have the ministry of edification. Look in one other thing, and I've got to hurry, but turn to 2 Corinthians and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, look what he says. This verse can be applied two ways. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. A reprobate is someone that's void of truth. And that verse can be applied two ways. I'm simply saying there are people today that don't believe in the faith that was delivered to the Apostle Paul, and they're reprobates. They might be saved, but they're void of the truth of this book rightly divided, and they're reprobates. Paul said to examine yourselves and see whether you be in the faith. Now that you can apply that whether Christ is in you or not, and you can apply that whether you're saved or not. And if you're not saved, you're a reprobate. You're void of the truth. If you are saved and you're not following the Lord, and through the Apostle Paul, the writings and the revelation that God gave him, you're still a reprobate. You're just a saved reprobate. But you're void of truth. That's what heresy is. Now notice something else. We examine ourselves in the faith, doctrinally, and for salvation. Turn with me to Philippians, number 2. The work of the Lord is not just for the body of Christ in doctrine and building up, but it also has to do with the gospel. Look in Philippians and look in chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 22. Philippians 1, verse 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I choose, I would not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Something far better about going to be with the Lord than staying down here. Verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Come down to verse 27. And notice what he says there. In verse 27, only let your conversation, as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Folks, your conversation as it becomes the gospel of Christ, striving together in the same one spirit, one mind, striving, working, and laboring for the faith of the gospel. What's the faith of the gospel? It's the faith. We work together in the gospel. Look what he says there. Notice, let's see, verse 28, and nothing terrified by your adversaries. In other words, don't let them adversaries scare you. Don't let them terrify you, which is to them an evident token of perdition, destruction. If they see you're scared and they see you're terrified, then they know that it's a token to them that you're being destroyed, that you're going to shut up, that they got the better hand at you. Don't worry about that religious crowd. Don't worry about what they're going to say, what people's going to say. They're your Lord's who you ought to be worried about. I don't care what people think about me. I could care less. Maybe it's been after 40 years in the ministry, and I just got callous to it, but I don't care. I don't care whether you like me or not. I'm going to preach for the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you like Him or the world or anybody else. Why? God is who I'm going to give an account to. Worried about people. Be terrified about them. So, well, we'll throw you out. Good. Get on with it. It doesn't matter. You can't throw me out of the body of Christ. You can't throw me out of the true church. And you can't stop me from preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this world's probably going to try someday. And then when the rubber meets the road, and we'll see who stands for what. But anyway, look what he says. Don't be even a token of perdition, but to you of salvation. In other words, if you got adversaries, you know that's a good sign your salvation is working for you. Amen. And that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear in me. Look in chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4. Our ministry is a ministry of the gospel. We're to preach the gospel to people, folks. The number one goal of Charity Bible Church and in the hearts of people is to get the gospel of Christ out. That's the work of the Lord. Amen. And that the second thing is the ministry to the body of Christ in this church. We're to support one another. We're to help one another. As a member of the body of Christ. Look in chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Notice what he says. Euodus, I beseech thee, and Syntyche, whatever. That they be the same mind in the Lord. These two ladies probably they wasn't of the same mind. Like one told me one time, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I said, well, I wouldn't give too much of it away. Verse 3, it said, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellows, help. Now watch this. Those women which labor with me in the what? The gospel. With Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Paul had some ladies, and those ladies labored with him in the gospel to get the gospel out, probably helping him to get the gospel out, supporting him. And thank God for people like that. That's the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is to get the gospel out for the glory of Christ and to help the body of Christ to be edified. It's not a place where we come together and have a social gathering. We don't come here to socialize, and it's good to fellowship, and I love to get together, and I think we ought to. I think the men ought to get together like the women once in a while and just fellowship and have a good fellowship and talk about the Lord. I see a lot of times people get fired up about the word rightly divided, and before you know it, they cool off, and, you know, They're not as excited about it one time. Well, that's where the other members are to come in and keep the fire burning about the Word of God. You want to have a club, go join a club. But we come here today in this church, and it's been the goal and it's been our heart's desire that this church center around the cross and the getting the gospel out, because that's what the world needs. They need to know that Jesus Christ died for their sins and that Jesus Christ will save anybody, anywhere, anyhow. Amen. Without them doing anything but believing on Him, receiving Him. He said, these women that labored with me in the gospel, we have a ministry of the gospel. And the last thing I want you to know, we have a ministry of prayer for one another. Look in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Notice what he says. Colossians 4. Epaphras, verse 12. Who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in what? In prayers. That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. He's praying for these people that they'll stay in the will of God, and he's laboring, and that's a ministry. Look what he says, Paul says over there, notice in Galatians. I'll tell you what, look, before you go to Galatians, look back in chapter 2 of Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 19, talking about the church. And not holding the head. And that's one of the problems of religion. You look back in the chapter and you'll see where they talk about in verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you. That word spoil is take you captive. It's like when they go in the Old Testament and the nations would fight one another, and one with the victor would take the spoils. You know, they get what the other nation had. And that's what he's wanting to do. But verse 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceits, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. In other words, the traditions of men that spoil people and they take them captive is religion. And look what happens in verse 22. He said, which are to perish with using after the commandments and doctrines of men. He's talking about the ordinances. Verse 20, wherefore if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are you subject to ordinances? And a parenthesis is an afterthought. What are there about these ordinances? Well, there's some ordinances that you touch not, and you don't taste that, and you don't eat this, and you handle not that, or anything's going to perish with the using, and all these ordinances that you're to do and then to don't do, and thou shalt do, thou shalt not do. You got to part your hair on one side, or you can't wear pants, and you got to have long sleeves. I mean, just keep on going, brother. And just Paul said, why are you subject to that? He said, which are apparent after the commandments and doctrines of men, not after the faith that God gave you. Man has taken this Bible and has twisted it up, and the end result is in verse 19. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment minister. There's your labor. And knit together increases with the increase of God. In other words, the body by joints and bands having nourishment minister. You know what? You minister to one another. You minister to them in prayer. Look in Galatians chapter 6, and I'm going to close. Galatians chapter 6. And notice what he says there in Galatians chapter 6. He said, verse 1, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, I'll restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Watch verse 15. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth his own self. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another man's work." He'll have his rejoicing in his own work, but the point I want you to see is verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens." How do I bear somebody's burden? I do it through prayer. We ought to pray one for another. Look back with me, and Paul talks about this in Colossians again, and talks about a door being opened, and pray for him. He said in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, Colossians 4, 2, "Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." Folks, all of this in here is a mystery. It has to do with the mystery of the gospel, that Christ died for people like you and me. You see, it's no mystery that God would save Gentiles, but prophecy said he'd save them through the nation Israel. It's no mystery about Jesus Christ's death. Psalm 22 prophesies his death. Isaiah 53 prophesied his death. It's no mystery that about his resurrection. David talked about he would not leave his soul in hell. The resurrection is according to prophecy. What's the mystery of the gospel? What is the gospel? The gospel is that Christ died for people like you and me. We didn't deserve the grace of God. We deserved the wrath of God, and Jesus Christ bore God's wrath for us. Amen. That's the mystery. And he saved us by his grace. We're to pray one for another. We're to pray that the gospel will be got out. And we're to pray for the church. Look back in chapter 2 again. Colossians. He talks about prayer. He says there in verse 19 again, how that we bring nourishment, we minister, and we're knit together. Folks, we're to pray. Philippians talks about in Philippians chapter 4, what he says there. Talks about labor with him. You know, prayer. I just want to read verse 17 to Philippians 3:17 says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which also is as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, physical things. But our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." And folks, Paul talks about that working back in chapter 2. And he says there in chapter 2, in verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not only in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not that you're working for your salvation. It's not that you're trying to gain salvation. It's because you have salvation. And that salvation's working out of you. Look what he said in verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I want the work to work to the Lord so the Lord can work through me. Amen. How do I do it? What's my ministry, preacher? Your ministry is to get the gospel out, to edify one another and build them up, bear one another's burdens, and to pray for one another, and to care for one another. You know, we can't all go. But look what Paul says in chapter 4, verse 9. But those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. He didn't say and received and heard and seen in me, memorize. He said do. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye also were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. And he goes on down and he talks about how that they gave him and communicated with him. Verse 17, not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You see, folks, when you work for the Lord and you support the gospel and you try to get the gospel out and you do whatever you have to do and you pray, that's fruit goes to your account. Work. Be not weary in well doing, for in due time ye shall reap if you faint not. One of these days we're going to reap. Our ministry is the ministry of the gospel. If we ever lose sight of that, you might as well put padlocks on this door, building and go home. If we ever lose sight of what Jesus Christ did for us in trying to get this gospel out so people can be saved, we have no more business here. I heard an advertisement today, or last week on the radio. A church, all they advertised was a great place for your kids. They had kids programs, and they had singing for kids, and they had music for kids, and kids and kids. Bring your kids. That's what people want. They're looking for another babysitter. Well, I'd like to come there, but preacher, you don't have no program for the young people. Yes, we do. What is it? The gospel. I'd rather get them saved by the grace of God and have an assurance that they're going to in heaven and when they face God than to have a problem and take them on a trip and they end up in hell somewhere. Right. We have a problem. The gospel. We minister to each other. Paul said, let our words be seasoned with grace that it may minister grace to one another. If you don't build up the body, you're tearing it down. And we ought to pray. When's the last time you got on your knees? So you don't have to get on your knees to pray. No, you don't. Pray going down the road, you pray on the job, pray anywhere. But does it hurt? When's the last time you ever sacrificed and got down on your knees when your knees was hurting while you're down there, but you denied your old flesh and you just began to talk to the Lord? I bet I'm talking to some people here. If you can't tell me the last time you got down on your knees and began to talk to the Lord about the members of the church in here and pray for one another. Oh yeah, I'm feeling this and going through like a, it's a hot iron, like a hot knife cutting through butter. When's the last time you sat down and you began to read? You say, well, I can't read good. Well, have you tried? And you begin to read this Bible. I'm going to give you a secret here. If you want God seemingly he just turns his ear, you need to read Isaiah chapter 40, 41, 42 in there. Over and over he says, I am the Lord thy God, and besides me there is no other God. Now if you want to pray, you get down on your knees sometime and you just say, God, Lord Jesus, I know thou art God, and beside you there is no other God. And you begin to pray like that. And I'll tell you something. It'll change you. You haven't even tried. You ought to pick somebody out in here that you don't like and start praying for them. You know what will happen? You'll begin to like them. Say, I don't like my job. Well, why don't you talk to the Lord about it? You don't have a problem talking to everybody else about it. Talk to the Lord about it. When's the last, folks, I'm trying to get you to understand the Lord is the center of your life. He should be, and if he's not, something's wrong with you. I try my best every day not to let a day go by that I don't try to saturate myself in this book. You can ask Jim. And she knows when the door's closed. I don't have a sign that says, do not disturb, power going on. She knows that when that door's closed, I'm on my knees. You say you're bragging. No, I'm trying to get you woke up, folks. If you don't start praying and getting this book, it's like Kevin said, if you don't stand in the truth of this book and stand for the Lord, I'm telling you, we're headed for it. You're not going to stand in the future. Some of you folks in here, you're lost as a goose. You're just lost as lost can be. And your old pride is keeping you that way. Well, serve the Lord. Well, if you're going to talk to us like that, we ain't letting you go back to no conference again. The reason why I do is because I love you. I want you to have the best the Lord will give you. Just three things. Try to do them. Somewhere, just read a chapter in Romans through Philemon. I'm not asking you to go over there and read Buzz and Huzz and Jehoshaphat and all these and Sepharvaim and all these names over there. Skip the genealogies. Don't read life to them. God didn't say you had to. But get in there and read every day Romans through Philemon. Read a chapter or two, and somewhere, if it's not for 5 minutes, get down and talk to the Lord about the church. See what happens. And try to help people through words of kindness and grace. Okay. It's 10:45. I'm